Let us pray. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through 21. Listen now for the word of God. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Coming to church can be an unusual experience. I mean, it probably doesn't feel unusual for most of us, but when you really think about it from the outside in, the things we do in this hour together each Sunday can seem kind of different, and maybe even a little bit removed from the rest of our lives. So imagine if today were your first time ever participating in a worship service, and maybe it is for some of you. How would you describe the experience of church to someone who's never been before? We all stand up and recite the same words at once. We shake each other's hands to pass the peace. What does that mean? Then there are these things like that are called sacraments, like putting water on a person's head, dripping bread in grape juice. I think I'm overdoing it a little, but I think we can agree that it's a unique experience coming to church, right? And I wonder if there's a reason for that. Throughout the Old Testament, we hear about the importance of passing our faith practices on to new generations. God tells the Israelites to keep up the traditions, to tell their stories, to perform their rituals so that future generations will see them, will learn them, and will follow in line. But this in and of itself isn't enough without a particular quality, one that we see often in our youth group, curiosity. Often, these commands to keep the traditions are followed by the words, so that your children will ask you why. We do these things so that we'll be asked about them. The curiosity of new generations is an essential part of our faith development. Their questions, even their skepticism about why we do the things that we do, is as important to our faith as our long-held traditions. And they always have been. There's an essay written by Walter Brueggemann about the value of children's questions, and he talks about how in the book of Joshua, the Israelites have reached the promised land. They're trying to figure out how to remember all the things that God has done during their hardest of times as they enter this future that looks promising and new. Upon their arrival, the Israelites are given very specific instructions to pick up stones and move them along the Jordan River, with each stone representing one of the tribes of Israel. And so it's easy to read this and think, well, this was just a ritual, so it must have made sense to them at the time. But did it? I mean, really try to picture it. As soon as they arrived to this new place, they were commanded by God to pick up these stones, and they must have been pretty large enough to be noticed, and then to place them along the river, and there the stones would sit forever. It sounds kind of unusual, doesn't it? And that was exactly the point. God commands the community to do this peculiar task for a reason, so that their children will ask them why, so that for the rest of their lives they'll be forced to explain, and they'll have to remember what the stones represent, that time that God dried up the Jordan River, allowing them to cross into the promised land. Then they'll remember the other time that God dried up the Red Sea as they escaped from Egypt. The curiosity of their children will take them back to their foundational story of God's miraculous work in shaping the community that they've become. So, in other words, This unusual practice of setting stones along the river wasn't intended for its own purpose. It was intended to prompt questions. Like all faith practices, it was put in place with the hope and expectation that one day a new generation might look at it and go, "Why are we doing this? Tell me why this matters." These are exactly the questions that God wants us to ask, and not just to ask once, but to keep asking again and again and again. And when considered thoughtfully, these questions form us too. They teach us something. These questions force us out of rote compliance and challenge us instead to deepen our connection to the long-held practices. Our answers to these questions remind us of our founding narratives. They strengthen our sense of identity. They redirect our attention away from the outer trappings of our faith, those things that have started to feel so routine that we kind of forget why we're doing them. And they point us instead to the meaning behind those things. They prompt us to rediscover the very heart of who we are. So if some of our faith practices sometimes feel strange, maybe it's because they're supposed to. We're meant to question why we do what we do, because this is what helps us start wondering. Wondering about who we are, where we came from, and who we're called to be. This is why our practices are filled with peculiarities that spark our curiosity. So we participate in church, we recite our affirmations, we perform our ancient sacraments, not to stay stuck in the past, but exactly the opposite. We do these things to open up our sense of wonder so that God can do a new thing in our hearts, in our spirits, in our imaginations. We do them to anchor ourselves and to polish our lenses so that we can perceive how God might be at work in our church, in our communities, in our world. With each generation, our family of faith has sought new ways to bring God's life-renewing work into clearer focus. And one way we do this is by nurturing and receiving the questions of those around us with earnest attention. This is how our faith grows. So when you hear a question, whether from one of the confirmands, or from a child in the church, or maybe from your own curiosity, really think about it. And think about what the question has to teach you, or maybe what it's trying to remind you of. And really consider your response, and keep considering until you have this renewed sense of, oh yeah, this is why we do this. This is why this matters. This is who we are. Our traditions are handed to us, but our sense of meaning, our sense of purpose, they have to be cultivated. And not just by a few of us, but by all of us. We're a part of a strong and resilient and fascinating family of faith, and they have a lot to tell us if we ask. So this year, from our youth perspective, we'll have Eleanor Parsons, who is a ninth grader at Freeman High School, and she will reflect on the passage from Isaiah.
Four weeks ago, I wrote an essay for my English class about my Ithaca. We had previously read the Odyssey, so this is a reference to the destination that Odysseus was trying to get to throughout the entire book. My English teacher asked us to write a three-page essay about what we wanted to dedicate our entire life to becoming, what destination we wanted to reach socially, financially, or emotionally. After thinking about writing about what college I wanted to go to or what profession I wanted to be in, I decided to shift gears and talk about becoming the best version of myself. But who would that be? The world is giving me no indication of who I will meet, learn from, or fabricate bonds with that can change my entire world. While figuring out what this best version may be, I realized that God should be a part of it. My only advantage to solving this problem is taking every day one at a time to be the most excellent I can be that day, constantly working to improve with God guiding me. I see God in my journey to becoming the best version of myself. The scripture assures us as readers that God will guide our journey no matter what path we take and help lead us to the right decision. The scripture for this service also illuminates the ideas of new beginnings. God seeks these new beginnings to grow and change. Unfortunately, many people find changes very uncomfortable. These circumstances are difficult to sort out on your own, and unless you take a second to find a new beginning and the positive side of it, you will not change for the better. The very first verse of the scripture says, "Don't remember the prior things. Don't ponder ancient history. Look, I'm doing a new thing." God says that we should not stay in the past, but rather embrace the future. I had a hard time following this passage last summer. It was the summer before high school, and I was dreading going to a new place where I barely knew anyone. The week before this would happen, I was going to Montreat. Montreat is a youth conference that the church takes every summer to meet other youth from Presbyterian churches all around the East Coast and even to Texas. We do small groups, worship, and fun activities after worship. Much like many of the other fun activities we had after worship, we had a glow dance party. On Wednesday night during the party, one of my friends and I split off to sit and talk around a bench on the pond. This was the first time I had told someone my fear of the coming week. I didn't want to leave Montreat because next week I would have to embrace a new beginning. Who was I going to be in high school? How different will this extravagant high school web be from the close-knit friend group I made in middle school? Will I feel unique if I'm trying to be identical to the person next to me? When I told her how stressed I was, she told me all I can do is be myself. Hearing the music echo across the pond to us in the background and the sun set above the mountain and the openness of my heart, I truly felt God. I felt God in the words I could not say and the words I got off my chest. The peacefulness of the environment made me feel like God was right there with me, guiding me. I see God in nature all around myself. In the way the flowers bloom, birds chirp, and rivers flow, there's a sense of something greater at work. It's like seeing a painting where every detail fits perfectly, making you feel so small but so connected to something bigger than you and more wonderful than your purpose. Whether it's a sunset painting the sky with vibrant colors in the background or a gentle breeze rustling through the trees, God shows us the beauty and power of something beyond ourselves. One of my favorite quotes is by Ram Charan, and it says, "The sky takes on shades of orange during sunrise and sunset, the color that gives you hope that the sun will set only to rise again." Like a sunrise, a new beginning fills the sky with promise and optimism. I see God's handiwork in these moments, arranging life's rhythms and providing me the opportunity to begin again. Every dawn offers the chance for a fresh start, a new day, and a new beginning. Whether I will be changing careers, starting a new relationship, or making a fresh start, I will think God will always be guiding me. It's in these moments that I see God. On my journey to find my Ithaca, in the conversations that take my whole heart, and in the beautiful world surrounding me. Amen.